Now, we all know how wonderful life is here in the West Country, but according to some research, 98% of us have given up on our dream careers here in the Southwest. So, is there a real science of happiness, and does it work? Is satisfaction really guaranteed? But one man who should know is Bruce Stanley. He's been running a Happiness for Life course over the past few weeks, and he's coming to tell us how it's all gone. And also, of course, we've got a new one coming up. How are you, Bruce? Nice to see you again.
I'm good, yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me all about, for those that missed our conversation last time, what are we talking? You're a life coach.
That's right.
And people would come to you for what?
Normally people come one-on-one who... I guess half of them are coming because something's gone wrong and they'd quite like life to improve, and the other half are perhaps people that are wanting to enhance how life already is. And really, in a nutshell, talking to somebody else who's not a close friend or a family member almost provides an impartial opinion, somebody to kind of bounce ideas off, who isn't invested in you staying the same. And especially... taking a positive psychology view, a positive approach to people, I tend to be providing them with an idea of encouraging them to see how they can be. But any change that we want to make, I haven't really met many people that haven't got an idea of where they would really like to be, if only they had enough confidence, if only they weren't scared of failure. And to fulfill any of those kind of ambitions, it does actually require you to step out of your comfort zone, and that's a place where you risk failure. The name implies you're out of your comfort zone, so you're experiencing all sorts of fears and things. And having a traveling companion during that phase, i.e., a life coach, can make the transition that much easier.
Would you class yourself as more of a guide pointing people in the right direction, rather than telling them what to do, but basically saying to them, look within yourself, because it's there somewhere?
Eventually, but I'm non-directive, which means that I'm simply the mountain guide, perhaps stood in the wilderness, and people are deciding that they want to walk to that mountain or head over there or whatever. I'm somebody that knows the territory of what it's like to make a difficult change. So I simply help them through the mechanics of that. But for most people, I think you're right that there is, if they've never looked inside, there are ideas to discover there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for instance, back to the subject of happiness, people are regularly looking for happiness, not only outside of themselves, but also outside of this present moment. They're looking for happiness as a result of something that might be different in 6 months' time or whatever. And I do think the biggest, greatest secrets of happiness are about who we are right now. Almost as though happiness can be uncovered, as in you already have happiness in you, and it's a matter of uncovering it rather than... you don't have any happiness, and happiness is a matter of getting something outside of your life and, you know, acquiring happiness.
Yeah. Let me share a personal thing with you. My wife, Sue, she's a great person for confidence, and she comes up with great ideas. We're going to do this. We can do this. And I always look on the black side of it, and she says, look, you're always down on the idea. You're not positive. You've got to go with it. And I said, look, we can't afford to do that. It'll happen, she says. We can. And at the end, this, and this will be the result of it. We cannot fail. Now, she is the person that wouldn't probably need to come and see you, but I would. What is it about me that always puts those fears into that sort of scenario? Many others must be in the same sort of situation. I always worry too much about, you know, about the securities of life and, as you say, releasing that enthusiasm, that desire to want to go and do it.
Well, if it's down to optimism versus pessimism, a lot of positive psychology research shows that optimists tend to be in the happy camp, those that are always seeing, you know, how things can be, like you're describing your wife. But that's not the full story. People who are more pessimistic, who stop and question, who how you're describing yourself, tend to actually be far more realistic about how things can be.
That's how I look at it, you see. But it doesn't help me to go forward.
Well, then presumably you and your wife form the perfect team that way. I mean, I think for anybody wanting to move forward with anything, there is a question of motivation, as if the thing that you're wanting to move towards is exciting enough, then, you know, presumably you will. I've been talking recently about the idea of falling in love. You know, there's an awful lot of things that we feel like we should and have to do, different ways of learning, for instance, as adults. And the best way is to think back to what it was like last time you fell in love, which for some people might be a long, long time ago. But really, for instance, if you fall in love with somebody that's a native speaker of a different language, suddenly your motivation to learn that new language is just, you know, so high, and you're a native French speaker or whatever within 3 months, whereas before you just weren't interested. So, you know, as adults, we can find these sort of these hints and tricks. I mean, it's the sort of thing that a life coach would do, is to find that. I would find for you, if you don't want to do something, the last thing I would do is try and convince you to do it. It's about finding out, you know, what's going to work with you, without there being somebody behind you with a rod to, you know, beat you to kind of make this change.
Yes, but it's good, because I've got to be honest, if Sue hadn't been there guiding and pointing the way and having that enthusiasm, I wouldn't have done anything. So in a way, she's become my guide. And I'm sure that that's the same with many couples.
The thing with optimism is it's one of many traits that can be learned. That's partly one of the things we look at on the happiness course. Happiness, there's been a lot of research in positive psychology on happiness by people like Martin Seligman, who he's written a book called Learned Optimism. And there are ways, for example, to dispute the negative voices which you might hear in your head about some decision. You might have a job interview in the coming week, or some confrontation, or something that you're scared of doing, speaking in public, all sorts of things that people are nervous about, that a pessimist would have real difficulty with. Well, cognitive behavioural disputations, the kind of tools that life coaches can give people, actually help them dispute those negatives to get them into a more balanced place. But I quite like the illustration of the plane that's going down, and the voice is shouted down the body of the plane from the front, saying, you know, can anybody fly the plane? You don't want the optimists to be putting their hands up at that point. You want the pessimists to go, well, actually, I think I can do it. The optimists, they can do anything. Actually, you might want them to say sat down.
It's not necessarily about money, because many people would say, ah, I get happiness by going out and spending and putting money on and putting things on the card. Now, that's not being a realist here. This is being somebody burying their head in the sand. So we're looking at more positive thinking than that. So if let's have a look at the courses. People would come along first of all. What I'm trying to do is rather like going to church. I don't want to put people off from coming in the first place. They might think, oh, I don't know if I could go into a room with other people and talk about my personal problems, if they call it a problem. How do you welcome them to start with on that first meeting?
The course happens at a coffee shop. It's a wonderful coffee shop just off Corn Street in the centre of Bristol, very easy to find. And it's at a place called St. Stephen's.
This is the wonderful church. I always call it a wedding cake church, just next to the cenotaph, just tucked away in a back street.
It is, but the coffee shop is almost an addition outside.
That's
so,
right.
So it, you know, the church is neither here nor there in a way. You're actually going into a normal coffee shop. There'll be somebody serving coffee, there's music playing, and you can sit in your own seat. The first couple of sessions of the happiness course are actually a very safe place for anybody feeling nervous, because you can sit with your coffee and just listen. You're not actually demanded to or required to do anything. It's actually by the second and third sessions that we actually have people talking to each other. But some people, the extroverts, have been absolutely gagging to talk to other people from day one, and I got told off by a couple of people who you know, wanted to have been engaging much earlier on. So you can't please everybody.
No, I know, but this is the usual problem, isn't it, when you go to some language courses and you go as a beginner and you find that somebody sitting next to you has been the year before and knows an awful lot more, and the tutor then assumes everybody is in that boat, so you end up not starting at the beginning. And that's, in a way, is the kind of same thing, I presume. You've got to bring everybody together as a whole, haven't you?
Well, it's a small enough group, there's something intimate about it, and the way I've structured it, is that there are times when I'm speaking to the whole group, but my approach is as a very experiential learner. So, I mean, there's a saying that if you simply hear, you forget, and if you see, you understand. But if you actually do, you know, that's wisdom. You carry it away with you. I think I'm interested not just in giving people information and knowledge, but in actually enabling them to have a happier life. I mean, you talked about money. Research has come out this week which is equating raises in happiness with the same amount of raise in money. We know what would the equivalent be. So, for example, seeing friends and having a good social life is supposed to be equivalent to about £50,000, believe it or not. You need that much money as a pay rise to have the same amount of happiness. Well, I've been measuring the happiness of the first happiness course, the Happiness for Life course, and we've got... The raise in happiness for the average person is equivalent to £40,000.
Huh.
So, you know, that's how much it's worth to those that want to come along.
The course lasts 8 weeks. You don't claim to give all the answers here, I presume.
Not at all. The thing is, happiness is a very independent, individual recipe. So that's actually a metaphor we use throughout the course. And I take a quite interesting scattergun approach, really, and cover all sorts of different topics and stress that the responsibility is on anybody coming to pick and choose what they want to. And as a life coach, I'm quite used to working with people to work on experiential exercises, things that you can actually do between the weeks, which embed the knowledge and wisdom in you, so you actually do become happier. There's sort of no point otherwise. I mean, a recent experiment we ran was to get people to do a purely pleasurable, very selfish pleasurable activity, you know, eating the perfect chocolate cake, or you know, mine would be relaxing in a bath with a good book and that sort of thing, but to put the same amount of effort into a philanthropic activity, something that you'd be doing purely for somebody else, and then compare the happiness derived from the two different sorts of activities. And we'll talk about that sort of thing. But because people have actually done it, they've sort of learned the lessons themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is also a good illustration of people that may think, well, happiness is purely a selfish subject. You know, why would I want to, you know, this is a terrible thing to go on a course about you just becoming more happy. But that's to really miss the point of what happiness is about. I think happy people forget themselves. You're no longer thinking about yourself. You don't have to worry about, you know, why you're unhappy. And once you've forgotten yourself, you can concentrate and focus on other people. You can focus on your work. I mean, happy employees tend to take fewer sick days. They tend to be more creative. They tend to be more productive.
It opens a whole new world, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's all there within you, if you think about it.
I think it is. We explore on the course what I call outer happiness and inner happiness. And outer happiness would be to do with relationships with other people, structuring your environment, all sorts of little changes that people can make. I mean, this research that's just come out saying how many people aren't in their dream ideal job. You know, we're looking at research here that says that 98% of people aren't pursuing their dream job. It paints a very black and white idea that happiness is pursuing your dream job or not. You know, you either are or you aren't. What about your dream week or your dream day? Think about today. You know, maybe
you can focus on a specific.
You're saying happiness is perhaps inside, and I agree. But there's another thing, that happiness is actually really now, not the end of 6 months. Of course, people can be in some dire situations, and I can say happiness is inside and now, and you can be shouting at the radio. But for most people, this is true. Really, the only time you can be happy right now, is right now. You know, and what sort of day is this Sunday going to be for you, rather than thinking about in a month's time or whenever.
Absolutely fascinating. That's this coming Wednesday, the first of 8 weeks, is it?
It starts in a few Wednesdays' time.
Ah, right.
Just the next Wednesday is finishing the current course, and then the next one starts on the 4th of July.
Right.
And visit happinessforlife.
And it's still
UK.
On a Wednesday in the evening?
It is Wednesday in the evening for 8 weeks.
At what time?
It's 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Here you are. I'm going to hand you a flyer.
Ah, thank you.
There you go. It's got all the info on it. Yes, and for those that would otherwise be facing a quiet summer evenings, all the other clubs and groups and things stop for the summer holidays, but Happiness
you
for Life
keep
keeps going.
Okay. Do people need to book or can they turn up?
They need to book in advance.
So if you want any advice, you've got a phone number, first of all, or would you rather they went on the website?
Yeah, happinessforlife.co.uk. Okay,
as simple as that. www.happinessforlife.co.uk. If you want to log on to that, don't forget the next session of 8 weeks starts Wednesday, the 4th of July. That's at 8 o'clock in the evening at St. Stephen's, the coffee shop. At St. Stephen's in the centre of Bristol. Bruce, great seeing you. Thank you very much indeed. And it's been fascinating. It really has. But thank you so much.
And thank you. Thanks.